بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We start a new chapter today, باب الغسل من الجنابة. Chapter on major ritual purification due to janaba. The ulama defined it as major spiritual impurity, the cause of it sexual intercourse or ejaculation of sperm, and also it is a spiritual impurity. He said ghusl becomes obligatory due to first ejaculation of sperm, second the meeting of the two circumcised parts. طيب. Here he said in Arabic والموجب له خروج المني وهو الماء الدافق والتقاء الختانين. طيب. So what makes it obligatory? That means ghusl is obligatory on every person who is in the major impurity. Now it is listed here the causes of it. What makes it obligatory are two things: the ejaculation of sperm and the meeting of the two circumcised parts, طيب, which is male and female. Now we have a point. Some ulama have said there is another reason what makes it obligatory. Now this is the ghusl from the janaba. But if we want to talk about the ghusl generally, the ghusl, not specifically from the janaba, then you add this to death and becoming a Muslim, converting to Islam, according to one opinion. So again, and one more time, the ghusl generally. Now here he said باب الغسل من الجنابة, chapter major ritual purification due to major spiritual impurity. Al-Imam said, I repeat it one more time, Al-Imam said رحمه الله والموجب له خروج المني وهو الماء الدافق والتقاء الختانين, which in English says ejaculation of sperm, second the meeting of the two circumcised parts. This is for al-ghusl from a specific situation which is called janaba, major impurity. طيب, if you want to talk about ghusl generally, some ulama added, they have these two and death. When you give the ghusl to the mayit, when he dies, you wash him. That's ghusl. The third, which is wash for the dead, when you wash the dead. Fourth is what? When someone converts to Islam. Now, and also, some ulama, they said, If you wash the deceased, you need to make a ghusl, which is the correct opinion. If you wash the deceased, it is sunnah to make a ghusl, not fard, obligatory. Fahimt. These are for ghusl generally. Now, our concern is what's in the book. What's in the book is al-ghusl from the janaba. Remember, this book is for what? For beginners. So our concern is what's in the book. Because the book is, as you see, summarized and concised for beginners. So, it is two reasons here. What is khuruj al-mani? Is just any khuruj mani makes ghusl obligatory? This is what we want to talk about. In the first one, ejaculation of sperm. Is every ejaculation of sperm makes it obligatory? What is khuruj al-mani? Al-Imam rahimahullah, he said, وَهُوَ الْمَاءُ الدَّافِقُ. Before we go to that, خروج المني, when it comes out from the male or from the female, it is when it comes out from the private part of the male or the private part of the female, whether it is by wet dream or by jima, intercourse, or by masturbation, and even though masturbation is haram, so it doesn't come to your mind, okay? But in case it happens, then you need to have a ghusl from the ejaculation of mani, طيب, the ejaculation of sperm. And the proof for that, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ جُنُوبًا فَاتَّهَرُوا, as in Surah Al-Ma'idah verse number 6, and when you are junub, on the state of janaba, major impurity, make tahara, which is the ghusl, and this is consensus amongst the ummah. طيب. Then Ibn Qudama rahimahullah, he defined what is al-mani, khuruj al-mani, the ejaculation of sperm. He said, وَهُوَ الْمَاءُ الدَّافِقُ. It is the water that comes out gushing. What does he mean, what comes out gushing? It means that when it comes out in a state of desire, because normally when it comes out in a state of desire, it comes out gushing, then you need to have a ghusl. Now, meaning, what about if it comes out just the drops for someone who's sick? Does he have to have a ghusl? No, he does not have to have a ghusl. He just clean himself and he does not have to have a ghusl. طيب, the dalil for that, as the hadith in Abu Dawood, Ahmad and An-Nasa'i, and it is authentic hadith, inshallah. Here he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, إِذَا فَضَغْتَ الْمَاءَ فَاغْتَسِلْ. إِذَا فَضَغْتَ means in English, when the money comes out gushing, when the sperm comes out gushing, فَاغْتَسِلْ, have ghusl, or perform a ghusl, as you see. طيب. What we need to understand, for example, this is a situation that happens sometimes. A man, after he has a jima' with his wife, he goes and has a ghusl. He washes himself and he finishes. He noticed later that more sperm came out. Does he need a ghusl for that? That's the point. No. What do you need to do for it? Wudu. You want to pray, you need to do wudu. If you want to pray, you need to do wudu. Why? Because what did we speak about last week? Anything that comes out from as-sabilain breaks wudu. Now, we have another point to talk about, the money. We spoke about it, we'll repeat it again. Is the money pure or impure? We said pure. Now, the next one, he said, the meeting of the two circumcised parts. What do we mean with two circumcised parts? This is because it came from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is collected by Sahih Muslim. He said, إِذَا جَلَسَ, that is collected يعني in Sahih Muslim. He said, إِذَا جَلَسَ بَيْنَ شُعَبِهَا الْأَرْبَعَ وَمَسَّ الْخِتَانُ الْخِتَانَ فَقَدْ وَجَبَ الْغُسُلُ. He said, when he sits between her four limbs and the khitan, the circumcised part, touches the other circumcised part, then the ghusl becomes obligatory. The ghusl meaning, what is the ghusl in English? You can so call it the ritual bath. So it is a bath, to have a bath. Type here the question, why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says al-khitanan, two circumcised parts? Of course the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he speaks with adab, with manners. And the Arab use this sifat, as we spoke about the gha'it before. Al-khitan, to talk about what? About the private part. That the Prophet ﷺ speaks in nice manners, not in bad manners. So he said al-khitan. He referred also to the woman that when she's circumcised, yani he said about the woman, he said about her part to be circumcised. Al-khitan. From this the ulama, they said it is sunnah for the woman to be circumcised. But the circumcision of women is not obligatory like the circumcision of a man. And the circumcision of women, it is not like it's done in Africa where they mutilate the women. It's only a small part taken away. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, when a woman asked him about a khitan for the women, circumcision for the women, he said, take a little bit because it is better for the man and for her. The meaning of the hadith. That is the meaning of the hadith. And also, all the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he was married to too many wives, and he had daughters. It's never been narrated that he ordered his wives or his daughters to perform circumcision. So circumcision, as Ibn Qudama rahimahullah said, it is an obligation for the man and an honor for the woman. Whether she wants to do it, she can, and if she doesn't want to, she doesn't have to. Because there is nothing to prove that she has to be circumcised. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he referred to the woman's private part, al-khitan. He's using what you call a metaphorical identification, so he doesn't speak with, he used more eloquent words than using other words referring to the private part. So, we have now in summary,
that the ghusl from the janaba is from two things. First, from ejaculation of sperm, and second, from when the two parts meet, when the two circumcised parts meet. Does it mean you need to have ejaculation, or if they only meet, khalas, the ghusl is to be performed? If they only meet, the ghusl to be performed, and that's it. Whether you ejaculate or not, it doesn't matter. And even for Ramadan, you learn that this ruling is very important for fasting. We'll talk about it when we get to the chapter of Siyam. But now, also another important point to do with that, kissing and touching and all that, it does not require ghusl, unless there is ejaculation afterwards. And he said here, وَالْوَاجِبُ فِيهِ النِّيَّةُ وَتَعْمِيمُ بَدَنِهِ بِالْغَسْلِ مَعِ الْمَضْمَضَةِ وَالْإِسْتِنْشَاقِ. The obligatory parts of the ghusl are the intention to cover the whole body with water, including madmada and istinshaq. So they are two pillars of al-ghusl. What is it? What are the two arkan pillars of ghusl? Intention and washing the whole body. All of the body must be covered with water. All of the body must be covered with water. Here Imam, he mentioned to goggle and snow the water. But we come to the intention first, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ. Indeed, deeds by intention. طيب. Why you need the intention? You need the intention in case you're having a ghusl, a bath, just because you are hot or you are sweating or so on. Secondly, the second one, to cover the whole body with water. Meaning, if someone makes an intention and he takes water and goggles and snores the water in his mouth and he jumps in the swimming pool, after, of course, he removed any filth of his body, but jumps in the swimming pool and came out the other end. Now the water has saturated all his body and washed all his body. He comes out from the other end. Does he come out pure or not? He comes out pure, because he met the pillars of ghusl. That's why it's good to have a swimming pool in your backyard, Ya Muhammad. The kids, they say, why dad swimming in winter this time? Here when he says, we finish the intention, as for ta'mimu badanihi bil ghasli, what is the proof that he has to cover all his body, the whole body, with water? The proof for that, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to Ummu Salama, in hadith Ummu Salama, إِنَّمَا يَكْفِيكِ أَن تَحْثِ عَلَىٰ رَأْسِكِ ثَلَاثَ حَثَيَاتٍ ثُمَّ تَفِيضِينَ عَلَيْكِ الْمَاءَ فَتَطَهَّرِينَ. Collected by Muslim. طيب. This hadith, he said to Ummu Salama, رضي الله عنها, it will suffice you that you pour water on your head three times, and then you pour the water on all your body, and this way you become pure. So that is the proof for what? That this is the ghusl. And this is what the consensus is about. There is a consensus on this covering the body with water. And here he said also, what we need to do is madmada wa istinshaq. We spoke about the madmada and the istinshaq. And the dalil when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wa in kuntum junuban fattaharu. So the proof here is, when you are on the state of janaba, then you need to make tahara. And making the tahara on all the body includes what? The mouth and the nose. Now the ones who are on the opinion that it is sunnah, they do not make it. Huh. You're with me? You're clicking or you're not? Yeah. We said there are two opinions. Whether washing the inside the mouth, the goggling and snorting the water. Some say it's obligatory and some say it is sunnah. If you believe it is sunnah, then you're not obligated to do them when you have your ghusl. But if you believe it's obligatory, then it is obligatory to wash your mouth and do the istinshaq. Now, when we studied, did we study it's obligatory or sunnah? It is sunnah, but at the same time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never left it. That means, don't leave it. That it is a very, very important sunnah. When we say sunnah, that doesn't mean you neglect it. That's what I'm saying. Because see, the other opinion that said it is sunnah also, they said, hadith Ummu Salama radiallahu anha. What did it say? He said, the hadith of Ummu Salama, which is clear in how the ghusl should be done, he said to her, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, pour the water all over your body. After he told her to pour three times on her head, he said, pour the water all over your body and then you are tahira like this. And he never mentioned to goggle the water and snore the water in the mouth. And this is the closer, Allahu alam, it is sunnah. He said, وَتُسَنُّ التَّسْمِيَةِ. It is recommended to mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the beginning. To say Bismillah when we start. We spoke about it. We spoke about the tasmiyah and the starting with the tasmiyah. And we said that all the ahadith that came about the wudu' of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the ahadith that came with the ghusl of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the ahadith that came that described for us the ghusl of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, none of it has mentioned that he started with Bismillah. But if you want to start with Bismillah, you can start with Bismillah, because every act that does not start with Bismillah is cut off. طيب, and we spoke about that extensively. You can refer to the lecture of wudu. طيب, and he said here, وَيَدْلُكُ بَدَنَهُ بِيَدِهِ, as well as pass one's hand over the entire body. So, to pass one's hand on the entire body when you're pouring the water, this is a sunnah. And to do it as muyamana. Now, and to do it as Maymuna radiallahu anha reported. I concealed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he then performed ghusl due to janaba. He began by washing his hands and then poured water with his right onto his left and then washed his private part and the affected areas. And then he stuck his hand against the wall or the ground and then performed an ablution like he would to do for prayer. And then he poured water all over his body and then he moved location and washed his feet. Here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is how Maymuna radiallahu anha described ghusl of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We said that to rub the water with your hand, to rub your body with your hand. Type, why it is not obligatory to rub the water with your hand? Also, we refer back to hadith Ummu Salama. He did not say to her, rub the water with your hand. He said, pour the water on your body. Since he did not say, you need to rub the water with your hand, it means what? It is not obligatory. And now, Maymuna describes for us how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed ghusl. She said, I concealed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She covered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so he can do his ghusl from the janaba. Then he started, he washed what? His hand. Then he poured with his right hand water inside his left hand. And he washed his private part and whatever and the affected area. Then what did he do, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He went to a wall and rubbed his hand with it to remove the najasa with dirt. Then he made wudu like the wudu of the salat. Then he poured the water on himself. Then he moved the place and he washed his feet. Now, why did the Prophet ﷺ move place and wash his feet? Because where he was sitting, the water puddled. So he had to move so he can wash his feet, and that is the ghusl. Now, we don't do that. There's some countries, they do that. In the Western countries and many other countries, how it is done, you have a shower or you have a bathtub. You stand under the shower or the bathtub. How do we do it? If you only want to do the obligatory, what do? You stand, you make the intention, take the water into your mouth, in your nose, and then you pour the water all over your body, making sure that the water covered your body. Of course, you need to remove the najasa. And while you are under the shower, you remove the najasa and you make sure the water pours all over the body. Now, if you want to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you make the intention, you start with the soap, you clean yourself, or even if there is no soap, you clean yourself for the private parts, and then you wash your hands. You wash your hands. Now, if there is soap, of course, you wash your private parts with soap, and then you wash your hand with soap. Then you make the wudu, normal wudu. You don't have to stand under the shower, you make the normal wudu in the shower. And then you open the water on all of your body. And then because the water is not puddling, it's going down into the drain, then you wash your feet and you're done. Mafhum? Of course, whilst you are the water pouring all over your body from the shower, you are passing your hand through on your limbs. You made the wudu, then you have the places where you didn't do wudu, you pass your hand to make sure your body is rubbed with the water. That is the full ghusl that is done. Now he said, وَلَا يَجِبُ نَقْدُ الشَّعْرِ فِي غُسْلِ الْجَنَابَةِ إِذَا رَوَى أُصُولَهُ. It is not obligatory to untie one's hair when doing ghusl from janaba, on condition one washes the roots of the hair. This is if someone has what they call dafair. What is the dafira? When the hair is plaited. That is called dafair. So they plait the hair and they make it hard. Now, he said here, it is not obligatory to untie the hair and pour the water on it. If the hair, we're talking about dhafira, we're not talking about just bringing the hair and tie it with the elastic. No, we're talking about dhafira, which is very hard to undo and then redo. To pour water, as long as the skin has reached it, water. You find that in the hadith of Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, she said, Ya Rasulullah, إِنِّ امْرَأَةٌ أَشِدُّ ضِفْرَ رَأْسِي أَفَأَنْقُضُهُ لِلْجَنَابَةِ قَالَ لَا. Sahih Muslim. O Messenger of Allah, I am a woman that I tie a dafira, I plait my hair. Do you want me to undo it for the janabah? He said, no. So what is the hadith saying here? He told and directed Ummu Salama not to undo it. He directed Ummu Salama not to undo it, radiallahu anha. Now, you find in the menses, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to undo it. In the janabah, you don't have to undo it. Tayyib, what is the difference between the two? The ulama said, because the janabah is regular. But from ghusl, from the haid, it's not regular. Yani some people, the wife have ghusl every day. Sometimes twice a day. You could see the hardship because of that. So the difference between al-ghusl for the janabah and the ghusl for the haid, from the menses for a woman, the difference between them is one is regularly done, and that's why the Sharia, the blessed Sharia, came for removal of haraj, hardship and burden. And part of the removal of hardship and burden is what? Distinguishing between ghusl from the janaba and ghusl from haid and menses. Then he said, if one was to intend for his ghusl to purification, that will be sufficient for both of them. He said, if you make intention for two purification, then will be sufficient for both of them. He said in Arabic, وَإِذَا نَوَى بِغُسْلِهِ الطَّهَارَتَيْنِ أَجَزَأَ عَنْهُمَا. What does it mean? It means, if you intend the removal of major and minor impurity, that would suffice you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after in Ayat al-Ma'idah, verse number 6, after he explained the wudu' for us, he said, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ جُنُوبًا فَالطَّهَارُ. And if you are on the state of janaba, make tahara, purification. And here the tahara encompassing the major and the minor. But the reality is, and the correct opinion, if he made intention for ghusl only, would it suffice him? Does he need to make intention for ghusl or wudu? Or if he make intention to remove impurity? If you make intention to remove impurity, would it suffice you? So you don't need to make both intentions. You make one intention is enough. And the dalil for that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقْرَبُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْتُمْ سُكَارَى حَتَّى تَعْلَمُوا مَا تَقُولُونَ وَلَا جُنُوبًا إِلَّا عَابِرِي سَبِيلٍ حَتَّى تَغْتَسِلُوا. Watch. In Surah An-Nisa, verse 43. O you who have believed, do not come near the salat while you are intoxicated, so you know what you are saying, nor on the state of janaba, except عَابِرِي سَبِيلٍ, except passing through the masjid, until you make ghusl. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and pay attention to the ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who have believed, do not come near the salat whilst you are intoxicated, so you know what you're saying, and not on the state of janaba. Yani, and not on the state of janaba, except passing through the masjid, until you have a ghusl. So that means, once you have a ghusl, you can pray or not. Yes. So there is no distinguishing between the wudu. There is no distinguishing between the wudu for the salat and the ghusl. So once you have the ghusl, you already can pray. And you can read the Quran, and you can do everything that you wanted to do. Mafhum. So, do I need to make intention for both of them, or just intention to remove the major impurity is enough? Intention to remove the major impurity is enough. So, if you make ghusl with the intention so you can purify yourself for the salat, it has removed both of them, major and minor, and ready for the salat, as the ayah testified for that. طيب, here he said, وكذلك لو تيمم للحدثين والنجاسة على بدنه أجزأ عن جميعها. Likewise, if one was to dry ablution, tayammum, for spiritual impurities, with an S, plural, and physical impurities on his body, that will be sufficient for all that. What does it mean? How many impurities we have now? Three in this part. The Shaykh Rahimahullah, he mentions three. Major impurity, minor impurity, and najasa. Meaning, if you have najasa on your body, urine, on your thigh or on your body, and you became junub, and you found no water, then you need to do tayammum. Of course, you cannot remove the urine. You need water. Would the tayammum be suffice to remove three of them? That is the question. You could say someone in the hospital bed, he's so sick he cannot move. Normally people come, his children take him to make wudu and bring him back. But his children said, Father, if you are by yourself and we cannot make it, this is Sa'id Tayyib, as we will speak about, inshallah, next week, dirt or something or some rock to make tayammum from. Now he woke up, he found that he had a wet dream. He's on the state of janaba, and he's sick in bed, and he found that he leaked urine on his body. He wants to pray Fajr. No one to take him to clean himself with water. Stuck. Hypothetically speaking, would the tayammum suffice him for three of them or not? Al-Imam rahimahullah, he said, if he makes intention for three of them, would suffice him for three of them. As the hadith, يعني the dalil for the imam رحمه الله وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى, and for each person what he had intended for. Since you intended the three of them, then three of them be fall under the intention. The question here, we agree that the tayammum removes the major impurity and the minor impurity, but removal of the najasa, does it befall under intention or no intention needed for it? No intention needed for it. So it does not befall under intention. And that's why Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah and the majority of the ulama, they said that you do not need to do tayammum for removal of najasa, and you pray as you are. You only do tayammum for the lifting of the major impurity and the minor impurity. And he pray as he is because he is unable to move, to remove the najasa. And if the tayammum was allowed, then it would suffice al-mustahada and the one who continuously urinates, who has salasul bawl, who with the weak bowel. What does it mean? What Shaykh al-Islam is saying? He's saying that the tayammum here, the tayammum, it's only to remove major impurity and minor impurity. It's not to remove the najasa of the body. He prays as he is with the tayammum, but the najasa remains because he cannot move it, remove it, because he's not able to. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ, fear Allah to the best of your ability. So you're not able to do it. You pray as you are, and as soon as you are able to remove it, then you remove it. Fahimt? You understand the point? That is, so here, Ibn Qudama rahimahullah, he included the najasa, the physical najasa that comes on the body. We exclude that and we say, you can remove only with the tayammum, major impurity and minor impurity, but you cannot move the najasa because the najasa cannot be removed by tayammum. And then here he said, if however he intended the removal of some of the impurity, then he will only have what he intended. For example, here he said, if you intend to remove some of the impurity. So, if you intended the removal, the major and the minor. See, this issue is based on the previous issue. The previous issue to remove three of them. This here he said, if you intend to remove proportion of them, not all of them, like the major and the minor, then you have what you have intended to. But we have said, if you have intended to remove the major impurity, the minor impurity comes out with it by default. You see? Understand it or not? So here the Shaykh is saying, if you make your ghusl just to intending the minor impurity, the major impurity is not removed. Or you made intention to remove the major impurity, the minor impurity is not removed. If you make intention that to move both of them, then both of them are removed. Fahimt? We say the correct opinion, wallahu a'lam, is one intention will suffice for all of them. If you make intention to remove the major impurity, the minor impurity comes out with it by default. And our dalil, the ayah of Surah An-Nisa, verse 43, as we have mentioned. Tayyib. And also the hadith of Umm Salama, radiallahu anha, as he said to her, fatatahharin. He said that you will achieve tahara by pouring the water. So you are ready for your salat. Mafhum? You are ready by intending the tahara, you are ready for your salat once you do that. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. I know the lesson be short, but we finished the chapter.